grammar and proper form. If you don't have a style manual, it's good to be aware of what they're like. The use of ellipsis, dots, and commas in the right places, and proper grammar, and so on, do count in the grade. And we are somewhat sticklers on this, in part because many of you have had too many classes where you never were corrected on matters of that kind. And I think there is a proper form, clearly, and we will be expecting you to use it. Check with your TAs if you have any questions about it. I'm going to try to hand out a sheet Tuesday that will point to some of the most common problems that arise. But it's really good to get used to manuals such as that from the Modern Language Association, for instance, or the University of Chicago manual. I'd like this morning to try something of an experiment that I usually do earlier in the semester. It will be an experiment in part because we usually have this discussion about the third week or so, and now it's on into about the 10th week, and I want to, or 9th, and I want to see to some extent how your responses and so on differ. But I'd like to ask Jim and Carl to take the roving mics and have a kind of dialogue with you about the meaning of the term nature. We have talked quite a bit so far about human beings and about God. We've talked a little bit about nature. Nature has always been in the background of our discussions. But I'd like to ask you some specific questions. And again, the fun of doing this is that you don't censor your responses too much. It really requires that you participate without a whole lot of censoring, because when that happens, it slows down and we don't really get what you're thinking about it. But I'd like to start out with the question, which may seem frightfully obvious. How many of you think human beings are a part of nature? How many of you think they are not? Okay, we're pretty much in agreement on that. Second question, can human beings be fully comprehended or understood within the category nature? Can human beings be fully comprehended or understood within the category nature? How many of you think we can? Okay, how many of you think we can't? Okay, this is interesting to me because it does suggest some shift of hands as over against earlier in the semester. Okay, let's, there's still more interesting questions to follow, but let's take just a little bit of a digression on this one. For those of you who think we can be fully comprehended under the term nature, or those of you who think we can't, just a few comments on either side. Do you want to explain your answer at all on that? Well, let me ask another question to make it a little trickier. If we can be fully comprehended under the rubric nature, is it possible to act unnaturally? Is pollution or spreading nuclear waste over the environment and so on, is that unnatural? If we are fully a part of nature, can we act unnaturally? How many of you think we can act unnaturally? How many of you think we can't? Okay, let's talk about that on either side. For those of you who think we cannot act unnaturally, how come we use the term so much? These aren't trick questions, incidentally. I'm really trying to get your thoughts on this and in a kind of guided dialogue. Can we act unnaturally or not? Any comments? Either side. Yes, way in back, Jim. And again, hold the mic right up close so we can all participate.
Well, you were talking about the part of acting like as in pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think it's part of our nature or part of our existence that we're going to do things that are bad for our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Just as certain species can pollute their own environments through living, we mm-hmm. can do it to ourselves.
Okay.
So I don't think it's possible for us to act unnaturally because everything we do is a part of our existence. And I
okay.
think in that perspective, everything we do is, you know, a part of the grand scheme of things.
So you would think then that we would be better off not using the term unnatural.
Yeah, I think it would be better off using, you know, I mean, maybe a deviation from what we see as the norm, but it's definitely not unnatural because if we do it and we're a part of this whole system, then it's got to be somewhere in the realm of existence.
Okay, so perhaps abnormal but not unnatural.
That would be my opinion.
Okay, others on this. What do you think about those terms? Can human beings act unnaturally? Down in front here, Carl, and can we act unnaturally?
I agree with him. I think that it's not possible for us to act unnaturally. I don't think it's good. I don't think spreading nuclear waste is good, but I do agree that it's what our species does.
Okay, so to act according to nature or to act naturally is sometimes not good, you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay.
I think unnaturally in the terms of not in accordance with nature, I don't think that we can use it that way. I don't think
okay.
that the word should be used that way.
Okay. Others. Two or three others. Can we act unnaturally? And you might reflect as you're thinking on this how widespread the term is. You know, take a classic like King Lear where the term unnatural just permeates the plot line and so on. We seem to use this a lot. So this would suggest if we can't act unnaturally that New York City and the Newark meadows and so on, that these are just as natural as the Northern Cascades wilderness areas and the Bob Marshall and so on. They're both completely natural. So we shouldn't speak about natural areas anymore. Some more thoughts. Yes, Craig has a comment here, Carl.
I haven't really developed this idea yet, but I think,
up close.
Mm-hmm. I think in some respects, some of the things we do that are unnatural are the things that people might think are good. Because I know it takes a lot more effort to behave in a respectable manner than it does to behave in a disrespectful manner. It's easier to lie. It's easier to steal.
Okay.
It's easier to pollute than not to pollute.
Doing things as they come naturally, you're suggesting, is sometimes easier?
Easier in what society and people would say is less healthy or bad.
Okay. What about the other thing? Should we stop referring to natural areas since all areas are natural areas? East St. Louis, I don't mean to pick on East St. Louis or Newark. I think of that little short poem of Ogden Nash's, two lines, the Bronx, no thunks. That's not quite fair to these areas. But are those just as natural as the Bob Marshall or the uplands in Yosemite National Park and so on? What do you think? Must have some yes, down here, Jim. You must have some thoughts on this kind of term.
You could argue that places like that are just as natural as, say, a gopher's burrow or like rabbits when they group together. But I don't think that's completely accurate. I think that human beings, having reason, often decide not to act according to instincts or in a way that would be natural.
But if we're fully a part of nature, or maybe you don't think we are, if we're fully a part of nature, how could we act unnaturally?
I think if you define nature as encompassing everything, then everything is natural, and there's no point in distinguishing between nature and what isn't nature, or natural. And
okay.
I don't believe that it's quite that encompassing, and I do believe that human beings are not completely natural.
Okay. Carl, look around for hands, and that way we can, and Jim, and that way we can save time. Good. Okay, you're having a little doubt about that assertion that we're fully a part of nature. Okay, yes.
I really don't think that we're fully part of nature, and I don't think that, the Bronx and East St. Louis are natural at all.
They're less natural, in a sense, than the Bob Marshall Wilderness?
I'd say yes.
Okay. Well, one or two more here, yes.
Well, I think that, I mean, in terms of human discourse and just in our ability to have a discussion about it, I mean, it's helpful to have some distinction. And I think in terms of the argument that goes along the lines of animals are part of nature and they still pollute, I mean, that's slightly different because animals pollute for survival, whereas I think humans have taken it a step further, and we pollute, you know, for luxury. Whether that's for good or bad, I don't know. But so I think in that sense it's a little less natural.
Okay. Notice you're getting into tricky territory here, though, because if you say it's a little less natural or it's unnatural, then it begins to suggest maybe that we're not fully a part of nature or that we better re-examine that term. Any more thoughts on that? Tricky issue.
Yeah, I agree that this is a tricky issue. I'd like to get back to what you said about the cities, though.
Okay.
And the idea of ecosystems. I think, although perhaps not a viable or sustainable ecosystem, the city is just as much sort of a community of organisms interacting as anywhere else. But I feel like, I mean, this whole discussion is centered around what is natural. And it seems to me that certain things, that makes it, like we're coming from different assumptions on that.
Okay.
And I agree that I would not change, like, wilderness areas. I would not take away their natural distinction because I think they are part of what forms, like, a foundation upon which sort of life is based. You know, water, clean water, clean air, organisms interacting. But I also see, say, take a city as another viable alternative so long as its foundation isn't eroded. Does that
make
sense?
So you're suggesting that maybe we're starting out with some different assumptions.
Correct.
Okay, that's one of the things that's always valuable to look for in a discussion like this part, like this, where we seem to be very far apart in some ways. Are we starting with different assumptions, either about the term itself or about who we are? We'll pay some attention to that. Any other comments? I have several other questions I want to ask you, but any other reflections on this about natural and unnatural. Okay, let me ask you another question. Are human beings more valuable than any other part of nature? How many of you think we are? How many of you think we aren't? Okay, about a third of you or so don't seem to have an opinion. That's okay, because it's a tough question. Let's talk about that. Those of you who think either side, are we more valuable than, way in the back, than other parts of nature?
Well, I think that we're not, but being that it's a matter of self-preservation, we think we're kind of more important just because we have to take care of ourselves.
Okay. Let me change the question a little. That's an interesting response. Let me put it in the form of a truth claim. How many of you think the following proposition is true? Human beings are more valuable, let's say, than other animal species or than other parts of nature. We'll refine this further. How many of you think that that claim is true? And how many of you think it's not true? Okay, we're still fairly evenly divided. So this would get it a little bit out of the realm of we may think it's true, but we'll still violate it because it's in our preservation interests or our self-interest. Let's still talk further about it. Are we more valuable than other parts of nature? Is a human being, let's say, to be even more specific, more valuable than a Bengal tiger or perhaps the bald eagle and so on? What do you think? Here's a couple, Leah and then John down in front here.
Well, I think to answer that question, you have to think about how you would define value. And as a Christian, I get my value from how God feels about me. And I think that, that since he sent his son to save people, he didn't send his son to save animals, that he thinks that we are more valuable than animals. And so I think that I am more valuable than
animals. Okay, so you would ground your answer, Leah, in a kind of theological, religious context?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, John? Oh,
I was just going to ask, valuable to what? Are we more valuable to ourselves or to nature in general?
Okay, good. You'd want to refine the question more then. Valuable to what or whom? Okay.
I'd also say that if we're speaking of value, we're almost assuming that it is from the point of view of what it is to humans, because only humans really speak of value. We're the only ones who...
Okay, are humans the only ones who speak of value? Leah, what do you think? Does God speak? You just told me that he has an opinion on this too, so... Let me do my infamous test. I used to do this during the second or third week of the course, but too many people dropped the course at that point. And so I held off to the fourth or fifth week when it was harder to drop, and this year I've really waited a long time. You're really stuck. Let's do my infamous caterpillar test. You're on a mountain road where it's going downhill in that direction, and you have a relatively new, well-maintained automobile. You're not negligent for having failed to maintain the brakes and the car as a whole, the tires. And you're at point X, and when you get to about X1 here, you realize that your brakes have failed, and you're starting to pick up speed, and you're really worried because this goes downhill at a fairly good clip. And you get just a little further here, X2, and you have very good vision, and you notice that up ahead here on one side of the road is a little 6-month-old human baby. And on the other side of the road, not one, but three caterpillars. Reasonable caterpillars, no reasonable size, but you've got good eyes and you can see them. Now, you can't miss them both. In this thought experiment, the way I've set it up, if you stay on the road, you're going to hit one or the other. Which do you choose to run over? How many of you would choose to run over the baby? One? You want to watch out for that young woman. Okay, how many of you would choose to run over the caterpillars? Let's talk about that. Does that shed any light on your earlier claim, that one down in front here, that human beings are no more valuable than other parts of nature? It seems like here we're at least three times as valuable as a caterpillar. Yes?
I think in this sense that it's what the woman said up above, that it's a self-preservation of our own species. And I think what the lady was saying before, that God has chosen us as a more valuable species, I don't think it's as a more valuable species. I think that maybe in God's words that we are chosen more as caretakers, not above the rest of nature.
Okay.
But with it and as...
So
as
we're not more valuable, but okay. Yes, there was one here, and then Craig. Mm-hmm.
I think in theory there's... I would obviously rather hit the caterpillars and the baby. Like, I would rather chop down a tree than, you know, have someone kill my mother. But, I mean, I still...
Thank you for telling me.
Or my...
Okay.
But I think in theory, when you step back and look at it, I think that each species is just as valuable, isn't it?
Way up and back is someone... Oh, here, and then... up and back, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think to remove the preservation instinct aspect of the experiment, you could just replace the baby with a baby Bengal tiger, and I think still people would run over the caterpillars rather than the Bengal tiger.
Okay, although I've heard some say that if it was the last of that species that they might run over the baby. Gets a little complicated. There was one up in back, Jim. I'm sorry. Okay, I want other responses on this too. Incidentally, if it's a matter of self-preservation, why not refine the thought experiment a little bit and say why not make a great leap for truth, since you know that one caterpillar is just as valuable as the baby. Why not a bold leap for truth here and run over the baby? So you would resist your preservation of the species instinct and act according to truth, just like we resist, let's say, the sexual instinct. Sometimes we curb our desires, and that seems to be a better society when we don't all just let it all hang out and act according to instinct. Why not make a decision here for truth and run over the baby? Yes?
I think we've been talking about theory so far, and just like what do you think, and in an ideal world, and so on and so on. But I think in all practicality, we have valued humans as more valuable than other species in the fact that we build buildings, we mess up, you know, all the destruction or whatever that we've done so far. Humans are by far more valuable than any other species in our actions. Hmm. And I think it's valuable to talk about maybe how we should change that and so on. But, I mean, in our actions, we will run over this caterpillar.
Okay, so even though the truth may be that we're of equal value, our operational values or our practical values are that we prefer ourselves. Okay, here's Audrey.
I don't really see it as a preservation sort of thing. Like, I think it's more of a familiarity thing. Like, if you had a pet that you've had for, like, 10 years on one side and a person you have never seen on the other, that would be the time maybe where you take that leap of faith and decide you're not going to go with your own human standards and realize that...
Okay, but Audrey, you don't know these caterpillars. You haven't been introduced.
Right. So at this point, I would obviously hit the caterpillars because I'm more familiar with humans in general. I'm more familiar with...
I see. I misunderstood your point. Mm-hmm. But why not now make a bold decision for truth? Isn't it generally better to honor the truth than to live
not
your life...
Not if it destroys you, no.
Pardon?
No, I think it would be to wreak too much havoc on your own personal... being to do that.
I think
in this sense it'd be more caring to take care of yourself rather than...
So that we don't really act according to truth anymore, then we act in order to avoid discomfort. That's the new standard of ethics? It would have been uncomfortable for... Christians, there were few enough as it was, but it would have been uncomfortable for them in Nazi Germany to hide a Jewish friend from the SS. They might have gotten hurt, so they should not have done this. Comfort now. Audrey, I know you well enough to tease you a little here. Think about that. Yes, others. Over here, Carl. Difficult issue.
I think your thought experiment proves that humans ecologically aren't any more important than other animals. But without another external source to find our value in, I don't think we'll ever find an answer to that, because, of course, you know, people are going to think we're more valuable because we're people. But... you know, it seems like each one of us has this feeling, well, yeah, I'm more important than a caterpillar, but why? You know, ecologically I'm not, because I destroy the environment and I destroy other things. But
okay. I think this point probably we would be in some substantial agreement on, that the total ecosystems could get along quite well, I think, without human beings. There are certain bacteria and certain organisms that live on the roots of plants and other things. If they were absent, things would really be a mess. Things would be very, very difficult. That, I think, we're fairly much in agreement on scientifically, but I'm still asking you this more philosophical question, because we often hear that it's arrogant for human beings to think that they are more valuable than other creatures. And this is the question, not just in an ecological sense, but in a larger philosophical sense, what you think about it. Other comments here? Yes, there are a couple, Jim and in the corner, yes.
Well, it seems like we've been applying a very rigid, almost rationalist approach, and if you want to take the sort of contextualist ethic of care, you could say, you know, what is the best way to eliminate needless suffering in this situation? And if you hit a baby, there's a lot of social costs, like the parents are going to go through a lot of grief, and you're going to go through a lot of grief, but other people too. And, I mean, caterpillars don't really have a social organization in that parents aren't going to be grieving or so forth. So that is, you know, it causes less suffering to hit three caterpillars than one human being.
Okay, wonderful. This is the first time I've ever had that particular response in 15 years. That's a marvelous application of some of the readings. And I think Jim and Carl, it shows that including some of the ecofeminist readings is beginning to pay off, because you're suggesting that this highly rationalist sort of abstract discussion may not be enough, that we may need to tie it in with caring and responsibility and relationships, and that way to run over the caterpillars might seem almost absurd, or to run over the baby might seem almost absurd because of these other considerations. Jim?
I believe I would hit the caterpillars instead of the human, because namely because humans are more valuable than the caterpillars. Only one person in this class has dissented from that view.
No. There were a bunch. Quite a bunch of people who said they did not think human beings were more valuable. Oh, only one would. I see. In actuality, in other words, in terms of how they would act.
Yes.
Okay. So operationally, maybe only one, but theoretically, quite a bunch.
Well, what it boils down to is we may all have our own theories, but in practice, when it boiled down to it, all of us, save for one, would hit the caterpillars. And the reason for that is God made human beings at the top. Also, human beings have the ability to use their mind, to use their rationality for development, for their own betterment, and if used correctly, for the betterment of nature, none of which caterpillars have.
Okay, so you're suggesting, Jim, that there are quite a few, if not hypocrites, at least people who are pretty inconsistent between what they say they believe and how they would act?
That's correct.
Couple hands around here, yes, and then down here, Jim. Okay.
I would say that humans are more valuable than the caterpillars, but that does not imply that the caterpillars are not special or not unique or have their own qualities within themselves that give them a value.
Okay, this, I would even go further. I actually believe that every rock and every inanimate thing has some intrinsic value, so that to me the caterpillars have inherent or intrinsic value. Every living thing does, and I even think non-living things has some intrinsic value. So thinking the human being is more valuable does not imply that the caterpillar has no value, is your point.
Exactly.
Okay. Back here and then, or here. Yes, and then in the back. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the arrogant assumption that we were created at the top is what has led to the fact that we're at some sort of environmental crisis, so to speak. And I think the fact that while we were given our minds that are, say, superior to other minds and natural minds, is because that gives us a sense of responsibility for the rest of nature.
Okay, so you see that the fact that we perhaps think we're at the top is a fairly dangerous belief in some ways.
Yes.
Okay. Back here, and then Jim over here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think our question, our view of of value. I think that we're more valuable to ourselves. Like, from our own point of view, we're more valuable. But I think if the caterpillars were driving the car, they'd be more than happy to run us over.
If the caterpillar were driving the car, can you imagine that ever happening?
Possibly.
Can you imagine them ever asking this kind of question?
Well, I mean, back to the point that that human beings use our own minds for our own self-betterment. We're not the only animals that use our minds for our own self-betterment. I was just in the woods the past week and looking at all these beaver dams and how the beavers go around and cut down the trees and set up these very intricate communities and complex systems where they can live within and create these systems for themselves, but they still manage to do it within the natural ecosystem.
Okay.
Which human beings don't do.
Okay. Incidentally, some of you don't realize perhaps that the beavers were one of the great enemies of Native Americans in this part of the country. They hated the beavers because they were always damming up their waterways. Okay, forgive me if occasionally I needle you a little bit. I try to restrain myself, but occasionally my lower nature gets the best of me. And comment.
Let me ask you a question. If you think that everything has intrinsic value, then does the AIDS virus have intrinsic value? Because if it does, then...
Let me say tentatively, I think yes. And the way that I would answer this is along the line of an Islamic story where they were dealing with the problem of evil, and some thieves fell upon this helpless traveler and murdered him rather grotesquely, but murdered him, let's say, not grotesquely, just did him in. And these people were saying how awful this is. Allah must not care for human beings. This is an unjust, evil world. But then as the story develops, they're permitted to see the future. And this traveler was on the way to set fire to a large mosque or something where hundreds and hundreds of people would have perished. The interplay between good and evil is extraordinarily complex in the total span of history. I think to all of us, the AIDS virus seems like a patent evil. I think many religious people and some secular people have dared believe that in the great flow of things, it's not so simple to sort this out. That the very, if you take a purely evolutionary view, that the very development of human beings depends on survival of the fittest and a lot of things that look very evil. So, yes, obviously it's an evil. At another level, maybe not. So maybe even the AIDS virus has some intrinsic value. Incidentally, this may explain our hesitation to destroy the last smallpox organism. Because there's just a little lurking doubt that maybe it plays a role that we don't yet understand. But a very good question. I think that's an extraordinarily important question to ask. Just a couple more comments, and then I want to ask you another question or two. See if we can refine this a little bit further. Yes?
Back to the humans being more valuable than animals idea. I think the problem that we get is when we value human comfort over animal life. I don't think there's anything wrong with valuing human life over animal life. But when we go so far to say that our comfort and our tons and tons of houses and things are more important than other species or other animals or nature, then
okay.
I think there's a problem.
Okay. Incidentally, there's some other options here, too. Some years people suggest that you might be able to run off the road and do yourself in. Rather than the caterpillar or the baby, and there are different ways we could structure. But let me make it a little more difficult. If you really believe, to take the position, say, that Paul Taylor takes this week in the reading, that even he thinks even a dandelion has as much inherent value as a human being, but let's say a mosquito or a moth or a worm or a caterpillar, if you really believe that position, would you not be a moral monster to say on a warm August evening you get back to Ithaca a little bit early and have a few free evenings before classes start, you decide with a few friends to drive out to Trumansburg for a beer or for pizza or something, along the way killing dozens of moths, maybe hundreds, and caterpillars and other small organisms, would you not be a moral monster to do this? Because this is now not your own survival. It has nothing to do with more fundamental human values. It's just for your pleasure and convenience. Would that not, those of you who think that a human being is not more valuable than other creatures, wouldn't that put you in an awful position?
Well, aren't there religions that do follow that?
The Jains, yes, obviously they realize they cannot be fully consistent in this, but they often brush off the benches and the path before they walk along as a kind of symbolic gesture of this. Of course, this would also, if you took it fairly far, would mean you would never wash your face anymore with soap. There are little organisms that live in our eyelashes and in our eyebrows and so on, and you kill a fair number of these every time you wash your face.
So when they're confronted with these ideas, what's their solution?
Well, I think that the Jains in the more modern period realize that they're bearing witness to a kind of ideal. I actually have a lot of sympathy for this as a kind of witness-bearing to the fact, almost the vision that you find in Judaism and some religions, that there will come a time when the lion will lie down with the lamb and there will be a kind of peaceable kingdom as a kind of hope or ideal. It doesn't make much ecological sense to us, but it represents very deep feelings of uneasiness in human beings about the way we treat animals and live off of predation and so on. But getting back to the Trumansburg case, yes, or another comment.
Well, one of the things that I've always tried to live my life by is that there's sort of, in my opinion, a grand conservation of resources in this world, and that we're one of those resources. I mean, I think that each individual thing has different levels of importance in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. However, you can't take away any of the importance of even the moth or the caterpillar in this instance. But I mean, I think that, you know, as far as the, you know, as far as the cycle of nature goes, I mean, we may have as much of a role in sustaining nature as we do in destroying it. And as far as some people's opinion that there's like a crisis as far as the as far as the environment goes, I mean, I have news for you people that, A, the Earth was around a lot longer than we were, and when we're gone, it'll be here a lot longer than we will, and it'll regenerate itself, and that's just the way it is. This place isn't going to die, we will.
Yeah,
so if we destroy it for ourselves, then it's just like, I mean, if a lion, you know, destroys a lamb, the lamb walked into the pasture, it took its chances. We live our lives, we take our chances. If we destroy this place, it's not our fault, but the earth will still get by. We don't have the power to destroy this earth. It'll still be here when we're gone.
I wish I were as optimistic as you. I actually, at this point, am much closer to the egalitarians. I think that we can create enormous havoc. I have this theory that if there are other civilizations spread throughout the universe, I think it's very possible that they reached about the level of technological development that we did and then self-destructed. I think we can create enormous havoc. I think it's even technically possible if we deliberately set out to do it, that we could probably destroy most all life on the planet if we worked hard enough at it. But that's a point of view, certainly, that you have. What about this, though? What about the Trumansburg thing? Are those of you who think we're of equal value or not of greater value, after having this class, will you stop going out to Trumansburg or Dryden or wherever for be convinced you that this would be an act of moral outrage to do this? Audrey?
Well, first of all, I would say that when you are driving out there, it is, you know, to try to avoid the moths when you can, to drive slower and so on, like driving slower at night so you won't hit animals. That's the first step.
Okay.
Okay, so you are experiencing a bit of discomfort in order to, you know, appreciate life and so,
so
on.
So you kill 50 moths or, say, right. 10 rather than 100?
Right. And then the second thing is, and I think it does have to do with survival. I think the Jains, in order to survive, have to kill. And we, in order, we have a higher level of needs, I think. And you want to always push at those needs. But they are there. In
but
order
you,
to survive, you
but
have
Audrey,
to be killing
you're not really serious that we have to have that pizza in the grand scheme of things, are you?
No, but, I mean, like, if you take out every pizza that you never have, I think, yeah, any bit of fun, if you take out any bit of fun, you know, that's possible, then it's,
I'm it's pressing you a little bit.
I mean, I'm the biggest animal rights person there, you know, is probably here. Well, maybe not. But but that's the only way that you can live. And if that's being a moral monster, at least you know you're being hypocritical. To believe something that's false, that we are superior, and to live that way is even more of a monstership.
Have I heard you right? I know Audrey well enough. She's one of my advisees that I feel I can needle you a little bit. But you're really saying now that let's change the situation. You would freely grant me that if you killed 50 babies on the way to Trumansburg and back, you would probably not go for the pizza, right? But you're saying that you would kill the 50 moths. Now, what's the difference if they're equal in value?
Well, you don't, in realistic life, you don't have to kill the 50 babies.
No, no. I mean, this is a thought experiment. The claim was...
In order to live, you have to be doing certain things. And having fun is
right.
one of them. But there's other things, too, like washing your face, you know, hygiene
right.
sort of thing.
Right. But I was saying, right. for the sake of the thought experiment, you were making the claim that getting the pizza is really important.
Right. If it's that important, then, yeah, you kill the 50 babies. If it's
really?
Important to your survival...
But it isn't. But it
but
isn't.
But that's not true.
Okay.
That's a totally hypothetical situation.
Okay. Any other comment? Well, this is. Where are we on the discussion? Do you see the dilemma we have? That it is very, very hard to take the position Taylor takes. Taylor, incidentally, I think of people like Peter Singer and Tom Regan and others who deal with animal rights. I think he's by far the most honest. He gets his assumptions right up front, lets you look at them, doesn't try to trick you in any way. But anyone who believes that a dandelion is as valuable as a human being, I think, has some problems implementing this vision. And I think it's not surprising then that in his larger book, he fudges all over the place when it comes to implementing it, because obviously that cannot be implemented. But Audrey, I was not just pressing you... for the fun of it, I think your claim was that somehow the pizza does have something to do with our survival, and thus that you'd be willing to do in the 50 moths, but I have no, I certainly know you well enough to know that even if it had something to do with your survival, you would not kill the 50 babies, or even one. But doesn't this at least make you a little skeptical about the claim that a human being is no more valuable than any other creature, or has no more inherent worth, or whatever. That's the issue I at least want you to be reflecting about. It's my conviction that all of us, if not theoretically, operationally, believe that we are, and that we would consider someone who did not... orient her life according to that belief, a moral monster. We would consider anybody that said a mosquito is as valuable as a human being and would just as soon snuff out the life of a human being as a mosquito, we would consider such a person a moral monster. He would be acting in ways that I think almost none of us would find acceptable. Now, if that's the case, why make the claim that we are not more valuable? Aren't there other more consistent ways of avoiding the extreme anthropocentrism and the destruction of nature? Aren't there other ways that we could make the claim that would not be so much against our ordinary moral intuitions? Any thoughts on that? And I'm not doing this just to be clever or to try to win an argument and so on. I really want you to reflect on what you say. One of the roles of philosophy is to try to help us be as consistent as we can in the statements that we make. And it's my judgment here that we have rightly reacted against the extreme anthropocentrism, the extreme arrogance, the extreme I don't give a damn about other creatures. We have rightly reacted against this. I think these positions are morally reprehensible, but that we have overreacted by making the claim that a human being is no more valuable than a caterpillar, let's say, because I don't really think any of us believes that. I think we've been somehow persuaded that you have to believe that to avoid arrogance. But it seems to me that it's possible to believe that indeed human beings are more valuable in some senses than other creatures. Notice I say in some senses because we're not as important ecologically as some other creatures. And that one can believe that we are more valuable and still hold all other creatures, perhaps even the AIDS virus, that's a tough one though, I admit, in with some respect. And that thus the hesitation to snuff out the last smallpox organisms is perhaps an intuition, it's perhaps a sensibility that is fairly important, because there's just that little tiny bit of doubt that if we snuff it out, we might later discover that it played a role we didn't realize. What about that? In other words, what I'm suggesting is that to think that the human being is more valuable, which I think we all do anyway at some level, does not commit you to arrogance and a kind of a rampant anthropocentrism and so on. Any last reflections or Jim? Audrey? I'm sorry, and then after Jim, maybe. Of value. What is my definition of value? I think I would use synonyms like worth, that it's something that is has more worth than other things, that and so on. At this point, we're not talking in terms of right and wrong. Usually when we compare value in a more straightforward sense, we'll say, for instance, that if you're interested in food, that some a nice, well-formed apple is more valuable than a mushy, half-rotten apple and so on and so on. We'll come back to that. Yes, Jim.
Well, the reluctance to get rid of the smallpox is part of a form of anthropocentrism. It's not looking at the smallpox as valuable in and of itself. The people who don't want to destroy the smallpox see it as maybe having some potential to cure some future virus at a later date.
It could be, Jim, but couldn't it also be a concern for the larger environment? We might just as well discover that the smallpox is not essential in a narrow sense to human flourishing, but is essential, let's say, to another range of organisms flourishing, so that it could the hesitation could be related to a larger ecological concern. I don't think we know the answer to that at this point.
But I don't think we can be sure that the smallpox has no and will have no intrinsic human value.
Exactly.
So.
Nor that it has no no value, no instrumental value for other parts of the environment. Okay. So that it seems, I think the chance is very small, yes.
Well, I also think that the intentional extinction of a species draws a large problem with a lot of people. I mean, we're intentionally wiping out the smallpox virus, which is, you know, a species unto its own.
Mm-hmm.
That would draw a lot of boundaries ethically for a lot of people. You know, can we kill all of something?
Okay.
Intentionally.
It's these are again important questions. Okay, just to summarize, these kinds of questions have no simple answers. On Tuesday, I'm going to lecture on the term nature, and I'm going to show you that it is one of the most complex terms in the English language or any language. The Oxford English Dictionary lists at least 18 different meanings for the term natural. And I'm going to try to show that some of the confusion that we have when we discuss something like this results from a kind of semantic slippage among different meanings. One or more of you pointed to this when you said we may be starting with different assumptions. And I think I'll be able to suggest that part of the difficulty is that we use the term nature in very distinct ways, but don't always realize that we're slipping back and forth between nature 1 and 2 and 3 and so on. Thank you very much. Actually, this confirmed my hunch that it would be possible to do this discussion later in the semester and still have it a reasonably good discussion. So thanks very much for your help with it.
Interesting, maybe extension, maybe what I want to pursue at some other time with this. I've part of my paper, I'm going to be reviewing Philip Dick's book. On